Save WICC in your presets, and you'll never miss anything Lisa has to say. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
And joining us now is doctor and lawyer Michael Goldstein, doctor, lawyer, and political candidate for the Republican Party. He's challenging Jim Himes for the 4th congressional seat, but first he has to emerge triumphant from a primary against Jamie Stevenson, who got the nod from the Republican convention. Dr. Goldstein has been a Connecticut resident for over 30 years. He moved to Greenwich. That's where he lives. He's been very active as a physician, serving as the president of the New York County Medical Society for two terms and as the president of the SUNY Downstate Alumni Association. Later in life, he decided to become a lawyer. God knows why. Maybe because of all the malpractice actions that are leveled at his profession. I'm not saying you, Dr. Goldstein, personally. And then you went to law school at Pace at night. Dr. Goldstein thinks that he has some solutions, some ideas that we need to have. This is an idea-based campaign. Dr. Goldstein, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So what I really want to hear from you is about healthcare reform, because you've been in the trenches. You say that you're a solo practitioner. God knows you're a vanishing breed, but we as patients love solos. And I'm sure that you have a very good idea, a very real idea of what went wrong in your profession over these years, because as patients, we are completely held hostage to insurance companies, which basically decide the kind of medical care that we receive right now. It isn't up to the doctors anymore. It's up to the insurance companies, and that's a pretty pathetic thing. So, Dr. Goldstein, as a politician, what are some of your ideas that you think would make our healthcare system a better healthcare system?
Sure. In addition to, being a political leader and being involved in, hospital committees, and also having written articles actually that were published in health law journals about healthcare, I look at it, the system, from a lot of different perspectives. The first problem that we have is an incredible bureaucracy in healthcare. So we have about a $4 trillion healthcare economy, of which perhaps as much as $1 trillion is spent on regulation and bureaucracy. And the average doctor is spending about 20 hours a week and just doing regulatory compliance work as opposed to seeing patients. So if you go to a doctor and you see them ignoring you and typing on a computer, it's because of, government regulation and insurance company regulation. So the first one of the steps that you need to do is to shift healthcare to a more efficient process with less regulation, cost-benefit analysis regulation. Regulation has to make sense. It's slowing the system down. If you go to an emergency room, you'll have a 50-page medical record. If you went in with a sprained ankle, as I said, it could be 50 pages with all kinds of stuff that needs to be asked due to the same thing. And it's all a waste of time. It all makes everything more expensive, and that's part of the second problem is what's called consolidation. So years and years ago, there were more insurance companies, there were more independent hospital systems, and there were more independent practitioners, and there were more, it was more competition and more choice.
Yes.
So under the antitrust laws, which are really one of the main culprits in why this is happening, because the laws are completely out of touch with reality and they're obsolete. So what happens is, if a group of doctors feel that they're getting underpaid by an insurance company and they try to get together and do something about it, they can get prosecuted either criminally or civilly by the FEC or the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, rather, or the Department of Justice, and it does happen. Yet there's what's called the single entity exception. So an entity such as, Yale New Haven or Hartford Health can own dozens of hospitals, can employ tens of thousands of doctors, and yet they negotiate with an insurance company as what's called a single entity. So they can get up to 300% more than a doctor in private practice for doing exactly the same
thing. Wow.
Plus, they can add a facility fee, which can sometimes make it 10 times more expensive.
I've heard about those facility fees. Hearst newspapers did a whole revelatory investigative report on those facility fees and how different they are depending upon the hospital. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. So, Dr. Goldstein, we're chatting with Michael Goldstein. These problems seem intractable. They seem like they're so systemic and they require such an uphill battle to change anything. I mean, if you actually become a member of Congress, what are you going to do? What do you propose to do? You'll only be one of 435 members.
Well, first of all, I mean, number one is to revisit the antitrust laws in terms of, you know, the fact that they're from the late 1880s and early 1900s and they don't work. And the second thing is, and
well, they're
the
not. Fact, they're from the 1930s and 1940s.
Well, actually, the original Sherman Antitrust was in the
Hart. Yeah, the Hart-Taffley Act was really the big one. That was like in the 40s during the Roosevelt administration. But either way, they're very old. But they have been since amended with regulation upon regulation upon regulation. I mean, the idea, Dr. Goldstein, of antitrust is a good idea. What you're telling me is that in the details, it runs counter to antitrust. It's the opposite. It does the opposite.
Well, I actually wrote an article on it that was published in the American Bar Association Health Law Journal, which talked about how the antitrust laws are actually decreasing competition and raising prices rather than increasing competition. So it's well documented, and it's so what happened is this really is. The insurance companies started the process. So they started to consolidate and merge. And then they would go – then they created this entity called Managed Care, or what some people call Managed Without Care. And so I knew you'd get a kick out of that. So they would go to individual hospitals and say, well, if you want to see our patients, we're going to pay you X number of dollars. And, of course, that X number of dollars was usually less than – it actually cost the hospital to provide the care. And the hospitals either had to take it or leave it, and most of them wound up taking it, and they still started to operate in the red. So then the hospitals got smart and said, well, gee, we can do what the insurance companies do. We'll just band together, and we'll merge, and we'll form bigger hospital systems.
Yeah.
And then we can tell the insurance companies that we don't have to take it because now suddenly we're so big that they need us. And so you created a system where you had these two giants, these merging hospital systems and these merging insurance companies all competing against, against each other for dollars. And the problem – and then the hospitals also realized that they needed to buy medical practices in order to fill their beds because, for example, if you – the average doctor brings in about $2.4 million a year in what's called downstream revenue to a hospital system when they buy a practice. So as they acquire the practices, they start to bring in all this revenue. They ensure that their operating rooms are filled, their hospital bills
are
filled.
Well, not only that, don't they make the doctors sign these exclusivity provisions sometimes where they're only going to refer their patients to a specific hospital?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, but a lot of them are actually employed, so they, of course, have no choice. And yeah, exactly. So
that's terrible.
So everything recirculates within the same system.
Terrible.
And as these things get bigger and bigger, the care becomes more and more anonymous, and you can't really get a hold of your doctor. It's because it's sort of like calling,
Doctor
a reservation on an airline.
That's right.
And yeah. So, which means a lot of people slip through the cracks. People with urgent problems wind up in emergency rooms rather than going to their doctor, and so all of these things make the system more expensive. So there needs to be a kind of a reversal where we empower doctors in smaller or independent practices, give them collective bargaining power under certain conditions so that they can compete with the hospital systems, and provide care at a lower cost and create more competition in the system rather than less. The second thing is that everyone talks about this idea of single payers and everything that becomes single becomes less competitive, and the systems work best when you have the most amount of competition. Two problems exist in drug costs. One is what's called the pharmacy benefit manager. So when you have an insurance plan, certain drugs are covered, in network, and the coverage is based on whether there's like tier one, tier two, tier three, and there's a tier four, which is like the super expensive stuff. And the pharmacy benefit managers, do that. They determine the tiering and the pricing, and they are essentially they're paid a management fee by the insurance companies, and then they get rebates from the drug manufacturers. Now, so the insurance companies realize this is a really lucrative business, so they've actually taken over most of these pharmacy benefit managers.
Lovely.
Managers.
So then you have the vertical. So you have like the vertical monopoly as well. You don't just have like a horizontal monopoly. You have a vertical monopoly. Dr. Michael Goldstein, we're going to have to pause here. I'd love to have you back another time. I appreciate you coming on the show today. Good luck with your campaign. What is the primary date?
The primary date is August 9th.
August 9th, which is a Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday.
Okay.
And I hope your listeners go out and vote for me. I mean,
well, that's why you're here. You're here to ask them to vote for you. So Dr. Michael Goldstein is being opposed by Jamie Stevenson in a primary August 9th to see who will be on the ticket, who will contest against Jim Himes on November 8th of this year. Dr. Michael Goldstein, thank you so much for being on the show and good luck. We're going to be right back with my sister Jill Zarin in an exclusive interview, the first one out, after this morning's breakout of the Ultimate Girls Trip on Peacock. If you're a Real Housewives fan, you must stay tuned. If you want to talk to Jill, 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.